going on in David's life, we're going to take a phrase from verse number 1 where David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." And the title of the message this evening is "Wait on the Lord." Wait on the Lord. And this is a common theme throughout the book of Psalms. If you were to get a concordance and look up all the times that the word "wait" is used in the book of Psalms, there's going to be quite a few of those. And so that is important for a Christian life, to wait on the Lord. And we'll look at that a little bit more in depth here in just a few minutes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've blessed us with and given to us. Lord, we thank you for giving us salvation. We thank you for the freedom that we do have to worship. Father, we pray that you would open up our eyes, open up our ears to the Word of God. Help us to have understanding of the Word of God. I pray that it would do something on the inside of us, that would mold us and make us and change us on the inside and work its way out into our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help me and give me the words to speak. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll read the first five verses, the first five verses of Psalms chapter number 40. David is the author. And he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Boy, what a blessing that is. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord," and he's waiting for something. What are you waiting for as a Christian? Everyone is waiting for something, I do believe. We all have a future coming up. We all have things in our life that we're going to have to face. What are you waiting for as a Christian? I found a quote here from this man named Andrew Murray. And he said, "The root of all virtue and grace, of all faith and acceptable worship, is that we know that we have nothing but what we receive and bow in deepest humility to wait upon God for it." Are you waiting on God for something? Yeah. Is He going to give you something that you need in the future? Amen. In Christianity, we are waiting for something, aren't we? I mean, we got saved, and that's not it, is it? I mean, we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've been born again. We have the Spirit of God. But we're waiting for something else on in the future, aren't we? Amen. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to return. We're waiting to go back, go to heaven, to see our loved ones once again one of these days. So Christianity is waiting. We're expecting something. We're looking for something. Amen. That is Christianity. Amen. While we're here upon this earth, while we're waiting, I'm looking for something else too. Not just Jesus Christ to return. Not just the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, but I'm waiting for God to do something good in my life. Amen. Because I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make a mess sometimes. I'm going to spill the milk, so to speak. And I'm going to mess up. And I'm waiting for God. I'm earnestly waiting for God to be there. I expect Him to be there to help me through my problems, through my trials of life. That's what David is doing here. He has made a mess. He's done something. I don't know what it is. But it has to do with sin. He has sinned greatly in his life, and it is a great burden that he is carrying around. And he finds himself down in a miry pit that he can't get out of. I don't know if anybody here has ever been stuck in quicksand before or not, but that doesn't sound like it's too much fun. You can't. You don't have any help. You can't get out. You're trying. You're just mired down, and you can't get out of this pit that you're in. I've been in spiritual pits before. I've been mired down in spiritual pits where I can't get out. I don't know what to do, and it's real dark, and it's real bleak, and I didn't see God at one point in my life. I was mired down in sin. It was black and dark, and I didn't know what to do. But then God came along, and He did something to me and for me. Amen. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because I was smart or more spiritually adept or something like that. No, it was God that did something in my life, because if He wouldn't have, I would have continued on that path, that downward spiral that I was on. And that'd be the testimony of every Christian on the face of the earth. Now, you might think that it was your smarts or your breaks or something like that, but it didn't have anything to do with you. It had everything to do with God. So David finds himself in a miry pit that he can't get out of. He has nothing to hope in. He's in a hopeless situation, and he's waiting on God. He's expecting God to do something in his life. And he says, man, I can't get out. I need out of this pit that I'm in. He's waiting for deliverance from the Lord. He is waiting for deliverance from his own sin and the mess that he has made. And he is waiting for deliverance from enemies that have surrounded him and are threatening his life and his life, his kingdom. He says, I don't see a way out. I can't get out. I need help from the Lord. And he says, I'm waiting on God to do something. So why is David waiting? Well, of course, he doesn't see a way out. He says, I'm waiting on God to do something. He feels alone and helpless, and he doesn't know what to do, and he has nowhere to go for help. As I told you before, the word wait means to look patient, to be patient, or to look and to be expecting something. That's what we are as Christians. We are expecting something. I'm looking for that new body one of these days. That glorified body that can't sin, that's not going to die, not going to have knee aches or back aches or anything like that. We are eagerly expecting the glorious appearing of the sons of God, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter number 8. That's the great thing about salvation. That's one of the great things about being a child of God, is that God is going to take care of all of the problems. And all of my problems have to do with the man in the mirror. That's the problem. And he's going to fix all of those things. All throughout my Christian life and your Christian life, who's the problem? Well, you're the problem. I mean, I hate to break it to you. I know we live in America, but you're the problem. We're all sinners. We all have that sin nature that comes from Adam. It's ours by nature, and we have those things. And man left to himself will make a mess out of things. All you have to do is study history, and you'll find out about that. Amen. Just do an honest assessment of your life, and you'll figure out it was you all along that made all that big old huge mess that you got into, and the big old huge mess that I got into. Amen. It's a problem. So what do we do when we face situations that are overwhelming and they are dire in nature? What do? Man, we have to wait on God. We have to look for God. Or do you look for yourself? Do you find strength within yourself? Like, I can do it. I have control of my life. I have the reins. I have the steering wheel. Or do you say, no, God, I give it to you. I wait upon you. Now, I know I've done some bad things, and I know I've made a mess out of things, but I'm waiting on you to help me. The Bible tells us that waiting or patience is a fruit of the Spirit. We find out about that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's patience. Where do we get patience from? God. How does He give it to us? Well, you might have to go through some things. God might put some people in your path, or He might put some situations in your path, or He's trying to produce some patience in you. But it's a fruit of the Spirit, and He's going to produce it in you through the Spirit of God when you're saved. So I picked out here three divine actions from God for those who are waiting. Let's look at those three divine actions that God does for the child of God who is waiting. Are you waiting?
Yeah.
Are you waiting? Well, God's going to do something for you. Mm-hmm. He's going to do something for you. Number one, we see the descent of God to David. The descent of God to David. He descends down to where he's at. Number two, we see the drawing of God to David, to himself. That's number two. And number three, we see the deposit of a song in David's mouth. Do you like to sing? We just sang some songs, and God has put a new song in the Christian's mouth. So number one, we see the descent of God to David. Now, David is waiting, and he wants something from God. He needs something from God. And God doesn't go, well, I'm not going to listen to David today. I'm busy. I've got things to do. People over in China are praying to me, and people over in Europe are praying to me, and I don't have time to listen to David's problems today. I'm busy. God is never busy.
Amen.
There's never a busy signal. There's always a signal to God.
Amen.
You know, you got a cell phone. Sometimes you go down the valley, you get down in there, and you don't have a cell phone signal, and you can't reach out and get help. God forbid if you ought to get a flat tire or something like that, and you can't get out. That's not the way with God. It doesn't matter where you're at.
Amen.
God will hear your prayers. There are some exceptions to the rule, and I'll tell you about that here in just a second. But God, you always have a signal with God, and God descended down to where David was and went to him. He went to where he was. Look at verse number one. He inclined unto me. The God of the universe inclined to David?
Yeah.
Little old David? You mean God cares about me, and He cares about you,
Amen.
And He cares about the problems that you have in your life, even though they are self-inflicted and you made them yourself, the big mess that you got into? Yeah, He does. He certainly does.
Amen.
He inclines to you. He goes to you. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. God can hear.
Amen.
He said, I hear you, David. Now, I know you made a mess. I know you got problems. You made a huge mess out of your life, but I hear you. I hear you. Go ahead. I'm listening. I care. You know God cares about you? He cares about His children.
Amen.
He wants to hear from you. Every one of us, if you're a parent in here today, don't you like to hear from your kids? Boy, I got this problem. I want to talk to you about it. I want to hear about those things. I don't ever turn my ear away from a problem my child has. I want to hear. That's the way God is. He wants to hear from you. So God came to where David was. You think about that, that's a huge thing. The God of the universe would descend down to where His creation is. He does. God didn't accuse David, didn't condemn David, didn't say, well, I told you so. You know, I've been telling you about that. No, He didn't. He said, I want to hear from you.
Amen.
I want to hear from you. David says again in Psalm 18, verse number 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Wow. God will incline Himself to His creation. He will go to where you're at. He will go to your problem, and He will help you. You think about the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan. That man got beat up and left for dead, and the priest passed by on the other side, and he didn't want to help him as he was on the road to Jericho. And then the Levite passed by on the other side because he didn't want to mess with him either. He said, man, I don't have time for that man today. Left him laying in the ditch bleeding. But then the Good Samaritan came by. He said, man, I hear somebody moaning over there. I hear somebody that has a problem, that has a need, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to care for that man. The Bible says that he went to where he was.
Amen.
What does God do when His children are in need and they're hurting and they have problems? He goes to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a divine action on the part of God.
Amen.
And His children. We sing, or I don't know if we have the song in the songbook, but there is a song that I'm sure everyone here has probably heard. The song goes, He came to me. He came to me. The lyrics go, He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within.
Amen.
He picked me up and drew me gently to His side, where today in a sweet love I now abide.
Amen.
He came to me, oh, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary, because he came to you. God became a man. He came all the way down from heaven to where we were, and he came to us. Why? Because we needed something. Because we needed salvation. So when we wait on God, God descends to where we are. That's the great miracle of salvation, is that God comes down to where we are. David said in Psalm, the previous chapter, verse number 5, Psalm 39, 5, he says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." That's why we need God. Amen. That's why we need God to come down to where we are, because we're nothing but dust. We're nothing but a vapor, and we're going to be gone very soon. Amen. So God needs to come down to where we are. Amen. Now, sometimes God doesn't hear prayers. You find out about that in the Bible. Could I take a little side trail just for a moment? Sometimes God will not hear prayers. When we decide that we're not going to wait on God, and we decide that we have the steering wheel of our life, and we have the reins of our life, and we don't need any help from God, and we're full of pride, what does God do? God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He doesn't hear our prayers at those times. You know what we need to do? Be like David and be humble and admit your faults and wait on God. Amen. Wait on God. Sometimes we might have selfish motives in prayer. And the Bible says that God does not hear those things. It says in James chapter 4 and verse number 3, "Ye ask and receive not when you're praying, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust." Why? Wrong kind of motives. You're praying for selfish motives. You want something you're not supposed to have. Not in line with the Word of God. And God, the Bible says that God does not hear those prayers. How about if you're in open rebellion to God? Does God hear those prayers? Not according to Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 9. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law." I don't have to hear the Word of God. I don't have to hear God's law. The Bible says that your prayer is an abomination unto God. That's what the Bible says. But David's not doing that here, is he? No, he's waiting on God. He says, "Man, I know I messed up. I know I'm not the man behind the wheel. I know that God is in control." The context of these previous two chapters, he has been honest about his sins and his weaknesses and his shortcomings. So for all of those who are waiting on God, God descends to where you are. Number two, God draws us to himself. God draws us to himself. Verse number two of chapter 40. "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Man alive. You know that pit that you were in at one time? Man, you couldn't get out. You were all mired down in the mire. Guess what? God was there. He drew you to himself. Amen. He picked you up out of that pit, and he drew you to himself. What's a pit? Man, you ever think about a pit? The word pit means it's a cistern, a dungeon, or a prison. Nasty thing. Nasty thing. Why I think about a pit, I think about some place that's dark, it's damp, it's ugly, it's stinky. There's no friends down there. There's no help down there. There's no food down there. There's no light down there. You're just there alone. Boy, there's a couple of people that got thrown into a pit in the Bible, wasn't there? How about old Jeremiah? Jeremiah got thrown down into a pit with mire in it for preaching the Word of God. And he was alone. And he started praying. He said, "My God, I don't know what I'm going to do, but here I am down this pit, and I'm down the mire. Sunk down into the mire. I don't want to spend very long down in a pit. I've had enough of that." How about old Joseph? Joseph's brothers hated him, so they hated him so bad they took him and they threw him down in a pit where no water was. He was alone. He was helpless. He didn't have no help from anybody. That's the way we are. Before we get saved, we have no help. We have no hope. We must have God. So God draws us out of the pit and brings us unto himself. What is the reality of David's spiritual pit that he's in right now? He's not in a real pit. He's not in a physical pit. He's in a spiritual pit. Let's look at the pit that he's in. Number one, David has been chastised for his sin. Look at chapter 38, verses 1 and 2. David's been being chastised for his sin. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thine hand presseth me sore. Boy, he's in a bind. He said, the Lord's after me. He's chastising me. David is bearing a very heavy burden of his sin, verses 4 and 5. He's greatly distressed and troubled, verse number 6 of that chapter. He realizes that man in his best state is altogether vanity, as I talked about in verse number 5. And then he's asking God to deliver him from his sin in chapter 39 and verse number 8. Well, he's in a spiritual pit. He knows he's done wrong. He knows he's hopeless. He knows it's dark. But God was there to lift him out of that pit. So God brings the man who finds himself in a miry pit up to himself. Did you notice the word up? The trajectory that you head towards when you go towards God is always up. He lifts you up. Man, when you get out in the world and you get into sin and you get into problems of life, which way do you usually go? Usually down. Boy, you find the wrong kind of friends. You start watching the wrong kind of movies or music or listening to the wrong kind of music. Get in the wrong kind of habits, and they go down, down, down. It's not up. But once you get close to God, and God brings you up out of the miry pit, boy, He does something supernatural in your life. So God brings us up. I read a story here about a little slave girl that illustrates pretty well what happens to us whenever we get saved. The story of a gentleman visiting a slave market who was deeply touched by the mental agony of this little slave girl that was there. So he goes into this little slave market, sees this slave girl, and boy, she is in mental agony about her state. And so he decides that he's going to buy this little slave girl. He goes and he pays the price for this young lady, and she's so ecstatic. Man, she is so happy. You know what he does? This man, this kind man, he goes over to her and he gives her the bill of sale, gives her the deed to herself, said, here you go, you're free. And he walks away. She looked at that man, she goes, wait, sir, you redeemed me. And he said, yeah, that's right, you're free. And she said, you know what, can I serve you? Can I go ahead and serve you anyway? Do you know what the same way it is with us? Boy, we were slaves to sin, slaves to the devil, down in a miry pit. Didn't have no one to turn to, and God came and He bought us. Amen. He redeemed us. Amen. The Bible says that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And guess what happens after He redeems us? We go after Him and we say, hey, Jesus, can I serve you? Can I serve you? Because I love you. Thank you so much for what you've given to me. Amen. Thank you for redeeming me. Yep. He brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And not only that, He established our goings. He sets us upon a rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that rock. My goodness. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. God brought us up out of the pit of sin when He saved us. He drew us to Himself and He resurrected us to spiritual life. He quickened us. It tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2. I love that portion of Scripture, Ephesians chapter number 2, all the way down, first 8 verses, man, awesome, awesome. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Amen. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, you had a slave master and it was the devil. You were enslaved to the devil. It gets all the way down, I think it's verse number 6, man, you ought to read it. First 2 words, you know what they are? Awesome. But God. But God,
amen,
who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us,
amen,
even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Mm-hmm. Man, isn't it great to wait on God? He brought us up out of the pit. No, he's not gonna leave you alone after you get saved. You know what He's going to do? He's going to keep on picking you up. He's going to bring you to maturity. He's going to present you as a mature Christian one of these days. We're going to hit a lot more pits. Just because you become a Christian, just because you become saved, doesn't mean that all your problems are over and, oh, I'm never going to have any more problems. They're all done. No. No, there's going to be some more pits. There's going to be some more trials. Going to be more tribulations. But God's going to be there. And you know what? It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Because once you die and you go into the grave, you're not going to stay in the grave. He's going to raise you back up. And you're going to keep going all the way to heaven. He's going to draw you all the way up. Hey, with God, it's always up. Amen. It's always up. So He draws you to Himself. Not only that, the last thing we can look at is then God puts a song in our mouth to sing praises to Him, because that's what we were created to do. You and I, as His creation, were made to glorify and honor God the Father. Amen. That Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. Why do we come here and sing? Because we want God to have all the glory. We want Jesus Christ to have the preeminence. Where do we get that song from? You know, unbelief, infidelity. Did you know they don't have songs? No songs. You know, there's this. There's a guy here. What's his name? His name is Robert Ingersoll. They called him the great agnostic. He's an agnostic. When they had his funeral, you know what it said on his funeral announcement? It said, there will be no singing. There will be no singing. Yeah. You know why? There's no hope. Well, just going to the grave. That's all. Christianity has something to sing about, don't we? Man, who put that song in your mouth? God did. Amen. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praises unto our God. My goodness. When we have funerals here, we sing to God about it. When we have church service, we sing about it. We got something to be happy about. When somebody passes this life and they are a Christian, hey, we got some hope. We have a great hope. They're going to heaven one of these. They're going to heaven. A missionary was asked, do the heathen get no comfort whatsoever from their religion? The missionary replied, yes, the same kind of comfort you'd get out of a narcotic. Buddhism, Brahmanism, Taoism, Confucianism, Mohammedism, they're all opiate religions. Christianity, on the contrary, wakes up the soul with a new life, and that's why we sing those songs. Because God wakes up our soul and gives us life on the inside. We got something to sing about. We've been saved. We've been born again. We got heaven to sing about. We got God to sing about. We got redemption to sing about. We got all of those things to sing about. We got Jesus Christ to sing about. We got salvation to sing about. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Amen. Man, alive. The Lord's been good to us. That's a divine action from God right there. So what is the result of waiting on God? Verse number 4 says that we will be blessed. Or happy, blessed or happy. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. True happiness, true joy comes from the Lord. Also, when we wait upon God, and He does so much for us, He lifts us up out of that pit. He draws us to Himself. He puts a new song in our mouth. You know what happens? People see that. Unbelievers see that. And we have a testimony now that we can give to others because of what God has done for us. Read verse number 3. Verse number 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Everyone sees that. Unbelievers see that. They say, man, I want to trust the Lord too. If you've got something that I don't have and it's something that's supernatural from God, hey, I want that. Many shall trust in the Lord. That's what God does for us. Another thing that we could ask ourselves is, how do we know that God is going to perform these divine actions outside of the fact that it's written in God's Word, and I have faith in God's Word that it will happen because He loves us. That's why. And the thoughts that He has toward us. Did you catch those last two verses that we read in this psalm? Actually, it's verse number 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward usward. Have you ever thought about the thoughts that God has towards you? Have you? Well, He says something about it right here. They're not bad thoughts, they're good thoughts. They cannot be reckoned in order unto thee. That means we can't count them. They're so great and so many. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's the thoughts that God has about us and towards us. That's why He's rescuing us from ourselves, from our sin. That's why. That's why. Now, I don't know about you, but that's reason enough for me to wait on the Lord. God's my Father, and Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm going to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Are you waiting? What are you expecting in life? Hey, wait on the Lord. It doesn't matter how bad that the situation may seem, how dire that it may get, wait on the Lord, because He's there. He's there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for being there for us. Thank you that you give us something to expect. You give us faith. You've given us mercy and grace. Lord, thank you for all of these things. Father, I pray that you'd help us to look to you and to wait upon you, dear God. Just wait upon you, Lord.